Joining us now from DallasCowboys.com, he is sexy as all get out. That beard is majestic, and he's happy because his LSU Tigers are pretty good. It's our buddy David Hellman, brought to you by Ford, the best in Texas. How we doing, Mr. Hellman?
I'm doing great, y'all. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. We're very excited to have you on. There's been a lot of chatter about Taco. We've talked about him a lot the last couple of weeks. He be gone. What kind of an impact do you think this may have, if at all, on rookie Tristan Hill?
I don't know that it has a huge one. I think, if anything, the biggest impact for Tristan Hill right now is that Antoine Woods looks unlikely to play. So Antoine's more of a nose tackle. Tristan's more of a three technique. But just by, you know, the lack of bodies, you would assume he'll be active because of that. I don't think Taco being released has much to do with that, other than, you know, it'll prompt some way too early speculation about Hill's own career trajectory. But like I said, I think Tristan Hill's got a really good shot to play this week, so we'll see what he can do.
So the Cowboys are in a situation where they are 21.5 point favorites here. I don't even remember a time where they've been favored that much. Do you expect to see Cooper Rush in this game?
I hope so. Heck yeah, I do. I mean, if we don't, then what's going on? Jason Garrett and the Cowboys, to their credit, they're going to take this game seriously. One thing I always say is Garrett's consistency. You know, I genuinely believe that he doesn't look much further ahead on the schedule than about 3 hours from now. This team has never really had much of an issue playing up or down to their competition. They're very consistent under Garrett. But, like, for me, as a reporter, like, it's not my job to take the Dolphins seriously. It's my job to, you know, preview what I think is going to happen. And if Dak Prescott's still in the game in the fourth quarter, then something went horribly wrong. Because the Cowboys, maybe they don't cover the spread. Who knows? But they should win this game pretty comfortably at the end of the day.
But that has been at least a criticism we've had on our show of Garrett in the past, is he will, like, I remember, I believe it was the Jacksonville game in the UK where they were up 100 on a mud field and, you know, starters were still out there. That kind of drives me crazy about him. And maybe, you know, that's part of, you got to take the good with the bad, because that is part of taking your opponent seriously, that you're going to truly finish the fight even when it feels like the fight was finished a quarter and a half ago.
Yeah,
I don't know how you feel about that sort of stuff, but it tends to drive me mad.
Well, and I hear you, and you're right. I mean, it would go against Garrett's grain to, like, you know, he's not going to admit the game's over at halftime, and he probably shouldn't. The other thing is, this is the NFL, and I don't just mean that in terms of the competition level. I mean, you don't have that many bodies to throw in there. This isn't college where you've got, you know, three teams worth of depth to throw in there when the game gets out of hand. A lot of these guys are going to have to play because there's no other option. But your quarterback is not one of those guys. And, you know, we saw it week one when the Cowboys went up. I think they were, you know, once it was like 35-10 and it was the fourth quarter, Dak came out for two or three possessions and let Cooper Rush hand off to Tony Pollard. So, yeah, I mean, Dak and Zeke will get out of this game if it gets out of hand. But like I said, when you've only got 46 guys, a lot of your starters are going to have to play just because of the numbers crunch.
All right. Stephen Jones on Jerry Jones on our radio station, and Sean and RJ were kind of tiptoeing around the Jalen Ramsey thing. Or maybe it was Minka Fitzpatrick, but it was kind of this idea of, okay, Jerry, could you really, and I think it was really more Jalen, but could you go out there and get a Jalen Ramsey, even though you know he's going to have huge money coming up on his contract and you have a limited amount of pie? Now, all this was done without mentioning names, which is why it was vague, because you can't. But Jerry seemed to indicate in his answer that, man, if you go after a guy like that, you might not be able to keep a guy you already have on your team who's better. And I took that as Jerry saying that he thought, you know, hey, maybe Byron Jones is better than Jalen Ramsey. And maybe he's talking about in totality, since he is the right kind of guy, just an amazing human being, and you're never going to have any issues that you might have with Jalen Ramsey. We'll just call it that. So that said, I took a little bit of encouragement there, thinking that maybe Byron Jones is in the Cowboys' long-term plans. What do you think?
Man, I love your ability to take, like, three leaps, like, you know, the vaguest statement ever. 'Cause, I mean, and, you know, it's not Jerry Jones' fault. He can't mention another player who's under contract with another team by name. But, I mean, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, he could mean Amari Cooper, because Amari Cooper, you know, you could argue plays a position where you get the ball more and have a bigger impact. So I have no idea if Jerry was talking about Byron. But one thing I've learned over the last month is, you know, you can sit here and try to connect the dots all you want, and you can have all of the right logic, but you're still talking about human beings and a whole bunch of moving pieces, so it would be foolish to try to, you know, plan out the future. Case in point is I've been saying for 6 months, Lyle Collins is too good to stay here with all these people that they need to sign. He's going to price himself out of it. And sure enough, partially because of who Lyle is as a person, he wanted to be here. He probably definitely took less money than he could have gotten on the open market because that was important to him. Same thing with Jalen Smith. So you can't 100% predict these things. I know, you know, it's kind of the popular talking point that Byron's going to be the odd man out. But, you know, let's say the Cowboys get Dak and Amari signed, you know, in relatively short order, at least before free agency opens. You could franchise Byron Jones, or Byron Jones could put such a high value on being here that maybe he signs a deal that's favorable like Lyle and Jalen did. It's hard to predict. So I would be surprised if Byron got a big multi-year contract with the Cowboys, but I can't rule anything out just based on recent history.
Yeah, and we've all kind of assumed Byron's gone, and I would love for Byron to be that Jalen Smith Lyle guy that takes less. That's the way it kind of goes, right? We consider as fans and wish that all this thing works out, but he certainly seems like one of the guys that you may have to let go of. Is he? He looks like he's 100% back, though. I thought his game last week was spectacular. Do you think that, you know, Anthony Brown is a guy that's in the last year of his contract? You know, Cheeto's got a couple years to go. Do you think that the secondary is a strength of this team? As all this Jalen Ramsey talk has been going on, do you need to give up an asset to get a guy that, obviously, we all think Jalen Ramsey is incredible? Or do you think that the secondary is squared away and they really don't have any issues back there?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I can talk about Jalen Ramsey all I want, and I'll use that as an example. Here's what I don't like about the Jalen Ramsey deal. And I was intrigued about Minkah Fitzpatrick, because this is a guy that can play three positions, who's got 3 years, 4 years left on his rookie deal. So you get that production at a cheap cost. Whereas Jalen Ramsey, you're definitely talking about giving up a first round pick and probably more than that. And then you got to turn around and pay him an absolutely staggering amount of money, like next year. You know, I don't know this for sure, but Jalen Ramsey strikes me as the type of guy that could hold out of his fifth year, you know, in anticipation of getting a better contract, just like Melvin Gordon's doing right now. So that is a lot of capital to spend. Whereas, look what the Cowboys did with this secondary just a couple years ago. I mean, they drafted Cheeto, Jordan Lewis, and Xavier Woods in the same draft, and that is the bulk of your secondary right there. Who knows if you're going to keep them all, but you need draft picks to be able to replenish those positions, especially when you're paying Dak, Zeke, Amari, Jalen Smith, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith. You know, the list goes on and on. You need to draft well to be able to keep paying those guys, because you need cheap labor to fill those holes. So that's what I don't like about that is, you know, who knows if Anthony Brown stays here? Who knows what the future holds for somebody like Cheeto? But you need premium picks to be able to replace that production.
All right. Love having you on the show, because I think you're a very rational, even-keeled guy. And so I enjoy your takes on a lot of different subjects. And there's been a lot of talk about Eli Manning as he's been benched now. And there's a lot of chatter about, is he a Hall of Famer and those types of things. And I always hate it when a debate about quarterbacks always comes down to just Super Bowls, because that's a team-oriented thing. And sure, you have to be clutch to win Super Bowls, and you have to play well at the quarterback position. But I don't think Trent Dilfer, because he won a Super Bowl, is better than some quarterbacks out there who never did. So that said, who was a better quarterback, Tony Romo or Eli Manning?
Oh, man. See, and look, I'm an outsider here. I'm not from Dallas. I've only been around the Cowboys for the last 6 or 7 years. So I have an outsider's perspective. And honestly, and I think you framed it really well, because I think there's so much animosity for Eli Manning in Dallas. I mean, obviously, he starts for a division rival, but Tony Romo was the better quarterback And that eats Dallas fans up because he's not going to get as much credit as Eli Manning because he didn't win the big one. And you're right, it's a team game, and there's so much that goes into that. Obviously, you know, Justin Tuck and Jason Pierre-Paul and Michael Strahan deserve a lot of credit for those Super Bowls, but that's the bottom line. And my thing is, Tony Romo is undoubtedly a better quarterback, but most Cowboys fans would gladly take Eli Manning's career. Like, you're like, between Tony Romo and Eli Manning, pick which resume you'd rather have your team have. You're going to take the guy that won two Super Bowls. And anybody that disagrees is being disingenuous, in my opinion. So Romo's better, but I think Eli comes ahead in the long run. I'm sorry to say it on a Dallas radio station.
Well, you know, Jerry has expressed lamenting that many times, that they didn't get to the Super Bowl with Tony Romo because he was a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
And he absolutely was, for the record. It just didn't work out.
There's no doubt. He owns all the Cowboys passing records, and, you know, just it never worked out when he was finally at his best, too, and he had a good team around him. He couldn't stay healthy. It's the whole thing. You don't get a good offensive line in front of your quarterback, eventually they will break down, and it's a unfortunate irony that he broke down at the wrong time. All right, before we let you boogie, will the Cowboys cover this ridiculous spread?
I think they will. Like, I mean, you know, it's the NFL, I get that, but if the Cowboys, and maybe they don't win 59-10 like the Ravens did, but like I said, if they're not ahead comfortably enough to pull some starters in the fourth quarter, then, you know, we need to be re-examining how we feel about just how good these guys are, because they've looked as good as anybody in the NFL the first 2 weeks. They should be able to handle this team. I think they probably win by at least 28, if not more.
Man, awesome as always. Outside of missing the Romo question, I thought you had a really good show today.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Is there anything we can promote for you over at DallasCowboys.com?
You know, we moved Cover 4, our kind of variety fun show that we do. We moved it to the morning. It's at 9:20. I thought today's episode was hilarious. We've got Barry Church on the cast now. Remember him from his playing days with the Cowboys. He's a natural. He's only been doing this for like 3 weeks, but he's pretty damn good at it. So if you want to head over to our website and give that a watch, we had a lot of fun this morning.
Awesome. We love us some Barry Church for sure, and we love us some Dave Hellman. Thanks for taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, y'all.
All right, there he goes. The great Dave Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. Coming up next, 7 Week 4 games that are going to shake up the college football playoff picture. That's next on 105.3 The Fan. What we want to do here before we get into the Cowboys drafts under Will McClay and talk a little bit about Steph Curry's comments about Kevin Durant. We want to have a little college football preview, and these are the biggest games this weekend. And let's start with Saturday night, 8 o'clock, number 7, Notre Dame at number 3, Georgia.
Oh, give me some of this. Dadgummit, they better have this on at Choppy's birthday party.
Choppy's Mr. College Football. Yeah. Whatever the best college football game's on, we'll be on.
This is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of reasons. Hey, Georgia's, we know they're good, but like Notre Dame's, people forget they made the college football playoff last year.
I did,
and then
got
destroyed by Clemson. And it seems like over the past 5 years, every time they get a chance to go play a top 5 or top 10 team, they get close in the regular season and just can't do it.
Right.
I was looking at it. They lost to Georgia by 1 in 2017. In 2015, they lost to Clemson by 2. In 2014, they lost another close game when they were – it was against Florida. They lost by 4 to Florida State. Like, every time Notre Dame's got a chance. But they went 12-0 last year, made the college football playoff behind their quarterback Ian Book.
And got pounded.
So this is their chance. The line is 14.
Is it really?
For Georgia. So
I really don't know. What is Notre Dame's defense like?
They're okay. They've got a couple of good pass rushers. Another good matchup is Georgia's got probably the best tackle in the nation, and Andrew Walker, and he'll be going up against some of those Notre Dame pass rushers. The story, you know, to me is Georgia's running back DeAndre Swift is probably, I mean, God, that's a good running back class coming. Probably, if there was going to be a first-round caliber running back,
he's the guy.
He's in the group of one or two or three guys who might be taken. And Notre Dame just gives up the booty on the run. So,
ooh, tough one.
Could be another big day for Swift. But you look at Georgia, every year it seems like they got 5 running backs. Remember when they had Sony Michel and Nick Chubb? And
that was a fun team to watch.
Evander Holyfield's son, Elijah Holyfield. They got like 3 guys who can run it. So
according to ESPN's Football Power Index, this is the only game Notre Dame isn't favored to win.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a big spread, though.
And I want to, man. Props to them for scheduling a game against Georgia. I mean, they've done this for the last few years. Played Georgia with the home and home thing, but props to them because you don't have to do that. They could go 12-0 by not playing any Power Five teams and kind of sneak in or be in the mix every single year. So they need to win it, though, because if you don't, as a non-Power Five team,
can you work your way back up?
Can you get in at 11-1? I don't know.
This was our old buddy Frito's argument. It's like, well, you don't need playoffs because every week's a playoff in college football.
Yep. Let's move on to the next game. Number 8, Auburn, and number 17, Texas A&M. And we've talked about A&M's schedule. It is just absolutely brutal. And so if they do have any playoff hopes,
they've got to win this. Okay, I'm sorry. Is this game at A&M or Auburn?
At A&M.
Okay.
Kyle
Field. There you go. But obviously, they're home dogs. Where are you guys sitting on Mon? What's the quarterback for A&M? Are you on board with him or not?
I know A&M fans are going to say, well, the wide receivers have had drops, and the offensive line's had a couple issues. To me, Kellen Mond in that Clemson game did not play.
He was jittery early.
Half as good as he needed to play.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time taking him terribly, terribly seriously. And I know that
that's a tough place to play, and that was early in the game.
I know.
Which is why I want to cut him a little slack.
I want to give him a little bit of slack. This is the thing, though. They're 2-1 already. If you lose this one and you still have Georgia, LSU, and Alabama,
you're going to have a 500 year,
I mean,
6-5 type. Yeah.
The one thing I think they do have in their favor is being at home, though. Over 100,000 people at Kyle Field, and it's freshman quarterback Bo Nix for Auburn. He ain't seen anything like this, you know.
I don't have my pulse, my finger on the pulse of the local Aggie. How are they feeling about their team this year? Are they kind of protecting their crotch right now, or are they still pretty fired up, thinking they can get this done?
I mean, this game?
No, this season.
I think they've got to know that they play Georgia, LSU, and Alabama.
But most years, right?
If I play Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, and Clemson, if I go 2-3,
yeah,
am I happy?
Yeah.
If I go 3-2, am I happy?
Yeah, I
don't know, man.
You just never know, like, the way the alumni react. They were always butthurt over 9-3 when they had RC, so.
Can I throw this out there, too? Auburn's defensive tackle, Derek Brown, he's hurt. He got a, I don't know what happened, but he might play. It's still, they don't know if he's going to play. Seen as a top five player, seen as the best defensive tackle in the draft. So him being in or out of the game could make a difference. So that's something to watch for. And Shippy and I will be at the Boomer Jackson Fort Worth's City View location off 820, 230 to 430 on Saturday.
According to that football power index that I referenced from ESPN, the Aggies have a 1% chance to win the SEC West if they lose.
God.
Oh, man.
Here's your season.
And what? The Tigers' chance would drop to 2% if they lose.
Yeah. So who is – do you know what it is if they win?
Nope.
I guess it would be –
more than 1%?
It's still under 50, right?
I would think.
The Auburn has the number 4 remaining strength of schedule in all of college football, according to that same index. So that gives them less of a – let's see. That says they also gives – they give the Tigers less than a 50% chance to beat Florida, LSU, Georgia, and Alabama.
Can I say it? I really miss A&M being in the Big 12.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's just – yeah,
and I guarantee there's a lot of Aggies that feel the same way.
Me not having a local affiliation besides UNT, I want A&M to win. I just don't see how you can ever take that step forward as long as Georgia and Alabama are what they are.
LSU is
what they are. It's just going to be so hard to ever be consistently relevant in that conference.
You have to get every single badass Texas player. When Herman and them get really good recruiting classes, I look at that as, well, you just dropped one more notch in the SEC, because the whole advantage of you being in the SEC was that you were going to get every badass Texas player so they could go play in the best conference. So when you miss on those guys, it is a hammer at you.
All right, let's move on to the next game. This is Saturday at noon, number 11, Michigan. At number 13, Travis Frederick's Wisconsin.
I'm very happy that the college football makers were very good with the schedule this week, because, you know, last week we had a kind of rough week in college.
They didn't
play
last week.
Not a lot
of
good games.
Yeah,
now they're like, hey, we're going to give you the morning game. We're going to give you a good 2:30 game. We're going to give you a couple good night games. I saw that Harbaugh's record at Michigan is 40-14.
Is that right?
Pretty sure. If they would have said, hey, you're going to bring in Jim Harbaugh, you're going to pay him this much, that 40 and he'll be 40 and 14, they would have been like, nah, we'll go find someone else.
They wanted 44 and 8 or something.
So this feels like a big game to me. And Michigan's a team who farted around with Army, and no disrespect at all to the Army football team, and thank you for your service.
That didn't sound sincere.
I would say that Michigan doesn't have a lot of business farting around with Army.
So
wow.
Our buddy,
what are they doing?
Our buddy Bobby Carell is from up in that neck of the woods, and he went up and went to that game, and they're trying to figure out their plans. And they're like, man, the way Army plays, this is going to be a 2.5-hour college football game. And there was so much farting around, that game ended up being like one of those 4-hour deals, and they almost pissed it away.
So apparently in Michigan, Josh Gattis is the guy that's been hired, and he's been the play caller. Harbaugh turned over play calling. And Shea Patterson's the quarterback still. And if the offense doesn't really snap it into gear pretty quickly, everyone kind of gets the vibe that Harbaugh is going to take the play calling away from him pretty quickly into the season. And it's going to be tough because Wisconsin hasn't played anyone yet, but they haven't given up a point yet this year. So,
I didn't realize that.
I mean, they haven't played anybody.
But still.
But they're
a point?
They haven't given up a single point
wow.
in two games. And their running back, Jonathan Taylor, keep an eye on him. He is awesome. So that's right. That game. Good fun time.
Move on to the next game. Number 10, Utah at Jared Sandler's USC.
Well, Friday night action. Thank you very much again, college football people. Another running back, Zach Moss of Utah. Keep an eye on him. He's a lot of fun to watch. You know, probably late first, early second round type guy. USC is interesting, fighting for their coach's job with the backup quarterback. And they nearly beat BYU last week. So I just don't know. They've got to win that game at home. They've got to go beat a Utah team who's ranked number 10, I think, in the nation right now.
So going across town, can Chip Kelly get fired midseason at UCLA? Is there discussions of that?
Oh, I would imagine.
Good God, they are a mess.
Yeah.
Since Chip Kelly left Philadelphia, I don't think he's had a winning season anywhere.
Oh.
Anywhere. It's just been a disaster.
All right, let's move on to Oklahoma State at number 12, Texas. Woo! This is Saturday at 7:30 p.m.
All right, normally I'm always really super interested in the Longhorn game, but I'm very interested in this. Oklahoma State is offensively good.
Got the College Game Day treatment in Texas because Herbie and Chris Fowler are going to do the game on ABC. Tom Herman called this game an Armageddon-like situation because he's talking about how dangerous Oklahoma State is. In Oklahoma State, their quarterback, his name is Spencer Sanders. He played high school at Denton Ryan. I haven't seen it a lot. I saw like a little bit of Oklahoma State game a couple weeks ago, and I was going, whoa.
Yeah.
This guy looks like he can ball.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in this game. I think it's always dangerous. Texas and Oklahoma State's always dangerous, so it'll be fun.
The Cowboys have won 5 straight in Austin, the longest winning streak by any school ever at Texas.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I remember last year's game.
So that's a decade of football, right?
Last year's game in Stillwater was incredible. I think it was a 38-35. Texas ended up pulling it out. No, Oklahoma State beat them.
Yeah.
It was in overtime.
Yeah.
But that was just, that was a great game. It's always these two teams always play a great game.
This is and then also, you know, we've talked about this. The Horns have a legitimate chance to win the Big 12. It's going to come down to that Oklahoma game. But you forget, this is always one of the tougher games in the conference. You have to win this game if you want to win the conference.
Real quick, Ben. The running back for Oklahoma State, his name's Chuba Hubbard. Maybe it's Chuba, but I go with Chuba.
I like that.
Chuba Hubbard leading the nation in rushing.
Oh.
And then their wide receiver, Tylan Wallace, leading the nation in receiving. So Oklahoma State's going to get their yards. It'll be a fun game, man.
All right, finally, last game we're going to look at here, number 16, Oregon at Stanford. A little Justin Herbert.
Herbert time. Herbert, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. Played well. In the Auburn game, I thought he was okay. And there are times I watched him and I'm a little shaky, like, what was he doing right there? But they kind of run a weird offense in Oregon and things like that. But I don't think he's been, like, worse than Tua, you know. I think it's just hard to tell right now. Stanford's not very good, so Oregon, you know, they need to go win that game by a good 15-20 points. They really need to have an impressive victory, and I'm interested to see Herbert's stock climb. In a little bit, I want to give you guys a little information on what some people are thinking about Tua and Herbert. We'll get into that at 1 o'clock.
Do you have the latest Heisman odds on all the quarterbacks? Last we checked,
Hurts was number one.
Yeah.
And then Tua was next.
Okay.
So, you know, but that's going to be a fun game. I do want to mention this guy about this game. There's 230 in TCU. TCU's number 25 right now. They're taking on SMU, and SMU hasn't been beat yet. So that could be a great game.
Yeah. So we have a Dykes as a head coach, and we got a Morris as the quarterback.
Yeah.
SMU airing it out.
Baby. And the wide receiver's name is Rager, which is interesting.
There you go.
And then also 6:30 in UNT.
What?
Apogee Stadium, UTSA in North Texas.
Me and Ben are going to that. Are you going?
If you want to have the best seats in the house, come see me at Marty B's tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. in Bartonville. I'll have a chance for you to have the best seats.
I'm surprised you're not going to be spending any time out at UNT. You know, Skin and I are going to be getting out to the campus a lot. We both graduated from there. And
big alumni.
Yeah. Mark Fine's got that broadcasting class out there that's finally invited us out, man.
It's amazing.
This is kind of pretty cool. So
how's that going, that class?
It's going really well.
Big enrollment?
There's multiple classes, yeah. He's got multiples.
Classic Mark.
Yep.
I'm going to Missouri for Gamecocks
Shut
Tigers.
Shut up, Chippy.
Man, he just ruined the whole effing week.
Good God.
What is a Gamecock?
It's unbelievable.
Is his class called Behind the Desk, Behind the News Desk?
Why?
Is that the name of a sports talk segment?
His son is playing quarterback out there and doing a really good job.
Sure I don't
is.
Know if they're – wait, so Mark was in an interracial marriage?
Coming up next on the Ben and Skin
no?
Show from the Pluckers in Plano. Let's do a little. We this is a big day around the Metroplex. A lot of money is raised. We'll tell you why, and we'll also tell you what this former teammate said about his MVP friend who left him behind. We'll do that next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
But I do want to point out something that appeared earlier today on Pro Football Focus, and that is that Travis Frederick is one of only three NFL centers this year with 25 plus pass block snaps who have yet to give up a single quarterback pressure.
Oh. So, Ben, this has not been discussed enough because the caliber of the teams the Cowboys have played. But as everyone's talking about Dak and they're talking about the changes in the offense, the fact that you have one of the best in the business back to full strength is a huge development for the Cowboys.
They've had time to throw, it seems like, pretty much consistently.
Yeah.
Got them all. Got the band back together, man. And yeah. Travis is just—I mean, it's on the ground too. You know, he's a run blocker. He's great as well. It's just so great to have him back.
I'm just glad to see KT come back around on him.
Me too.
Because KT was out on him for a while, pretty down on him. But you're coming back around. You're starting to think that he is actually pretty good.
You know, I had some questions about if he would get his strength back.
Yeah.
And
you're talking about his elf character in Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it's. I'm highly intrigued by this because his little brother keeps wanting me to get in on a Dungeons and Dragons game, and I just don't know how it works really. But if it's like, are we going to be Skyping each other? But I'm in. I'm all in.
I'm sure there's like some sort of Google platform where everybody can collectively nerd out. I haven't done it in so long, guys, but I really like the camaraderie of the communal aspect of all these nerds in the same room rolling dice together.
Yeah, because that's what happens on Stranger Things.
Yeah, I mean that's when I played in the. When I played in the 80s, a couple doors down, big Robert Nichols was the dungeon master, and we had about four or five guys in there, and we're rolling our dice. And sometimes I was a wizard. Sometimes I was a dwarf. Yeah. Dwarfs were cool because they carried battle axes.
And people were taking the over on when you'd first see a naked woman, right?
They well, thinking... actually, it's interesting that you say that. You're talking about in person, right?
Yeah, not in the game.
Okay, because I was going to say Robert and Brian Nichols' dad also had a kick-ass Playboy stash, and that was the first time I – well, except for – well – Big John Canopy. Anyways, so in person, yeah, that wasn't going to happen until I was in my late 20s. But in a magazine, it was actually, my wife showed me a friend of hers. But yeah, the Nichols clan, they had the good stack of Playboys there in Dad's room.
Well, this just goes to show that Travis Frederick is back to full power to being the original Travis Frederick that he always was before Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if he sees you at a party, he might pull you aside and talk to you about his Madden rating.
Yeah.
And how it should be a little bit higher than it is. I mean, it's still like a 94, but he might corner you and go, man, do you know, why am I only a 94?
And he doesn't just kind of motion you over, you know, with his fingers. He actually physically grabs you.
You know what? There's been time, though. He won't use his fingers, but I've seen his beard curl up to motion you over. Isn't it weird, though, that isn't it weird the sort of side effects of Green Beret syndrome zaps you of your strength? You would think it would make you a badass.
No, that's Raspberry Beret syndrome.
Oh, yeah. That turns you into a Prince fan. Yeah. Okay, so let's hear this audio. This was a big story a week or so ago. What Kevin Durant said, I think that was a GQ or maybe it was Esquire. I can't remember the article. Oh, it was Wall Street Journal, yeah, where he was just bitching up a storm. And I so want – he's made some good points. And I've also, like, kind of reexamined my own attitude towards that. And I'm like, I think it would be so hard to just have the whole world coming at you on social media and all this sort of stuff. But there's things that he says that are just so ridiculous, I can't handle them. And one of the things that he said that was absurd was, look, man, I had to leave because at the end of the day, some of that motion stuff just doesn't work. You need to go ISO. He's talking about Golden State's offense, which is historically brilliant. And the other thing about it is they won a championship without him, and then they set the all-time NBA record for wins in a regular season without him and then lost in the finals. And then they brought him back and they won 2 of 3. So they won 3 championships and they went to 5 finals in that span. And he's going to be critical of when that offense, what it really allows you to do. So Rachel Nichols, doing a season preview with Steph Curry, asked him about Kevin Durant's comments criticizing the Golden State Warriors offense and how in the end it just really limits you as a player.
Well, I don't even care what plays we ran. We won 2 championships. We talked a lot about it throughout the, you know, the 3-year run. The word sacrifice in terms of, you know, playing a little bit differently than we all had been accustomed to over the years. We all want to play ISO ball at the end of the day in some way, shape, or form. But I'd rather have some championships, too.
And this is real interesting because when Kevin Durant does come back, he's going to be sharing the ball with another ISO guy in Kyrie Irving. Irving loves to have the ball. I mean, I can remember a lot of games over the course of Kevin Durant's Golden State era where they gave him the ball and let him do his thing, man. He was not being held back. But it's just, ask any guy that's got to go play defense. It's so much more difficult when there's a guy with the ball that's creating and 2 guys that are running off screens constantly. It's just so much easier to score. I don't know where you guys sit on this. I want to like Kevin Durant. I've tried so hard. I try to think about the things he says, and I try to put myself in his shoes, but he just can't stop saying things that make me crazy.
No, he's unlikable. And you know, when we found out he had burner accounts, and he's so freaking soft, and it's just any amount of due diligence and trying to find out who in the heck he is just leads to disappointment. So this is another example. You have one guy saying, yeah, that offense kept winning championships. I really wanted to ball hog. And then you got a guy who's been a part of that offense going, yeah, we just kind of talked about how we all need to sacrifice in order to win because winning's kind of better than just getting stats. But, no, it's all good.
And one more thing. You know, you can change your opinion over time. But the interesting thing, remember, he went to Twitter when the Miami Heat formed their super team and criticized them for going about it that route, and then he joined a super team. When he left Oklahoma City, the reason he cited is because they played too much ISO ball and it wasn't a joyous way to play basketball. He just wanted to go play fun basketball, guys.
Right.
And now that he's walking out the door, that style of basketball, that's really limiting.
It's pretty crazy because for a while there, I let my Mavs dreams wander into KD territory. Okay, with KD, Porzingis, maybe he sees Luka here and he'll want to come to Dallas. And, I mean, I felt dirty. Because I, you know, he might be the best player in the NBA, and I had to sit there and go, do I want him?
Yeah.
Will I feel okay rooting for him? I mean, I know, you know, if he was dominating for your team, you'd probably like him a little bit more, but I still wouldn't be able to make eye contact with myself in the sports mirror.
That's and I'd be like, well said. You know, one way, though, Ben, that you can look yourself in the mirror is to get involved in a day like today. There's a lot of national days today, but it's North Texas Giving Day, which is a really great thing. If you just head out on your social media platforms, you'll see the 19th is a big day to give money. It's one of the biggest charity days of the year. That's in the United States, and it's a North Texas thing. It's a part of a lot of great days that are happening today.
Yeah, and you see Dirk all over social media for North Texas Giving Day, and It's pretty awesome. And there's a lot of great charities that we're involved with. And, hey, you can go to NorthTexasGivingDay.org right now, and you'll just see a list of – there's 200 pages of charities.
Yep.
So there's almost there's over 3,000 different charities right there that you can go choose from in just North Texas alone. So, yeah, by all means, go give to a charity today. You'll feel so much better about yourself and about your day. But it is some other special days that we should talk about. It's North Texas Giving Day, but it's also – Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, holy Mike Leach.
So is this the day that caused Roy to go into the drive-thru and, like, talk like a pirate?
Yes,
I remember Matey. And then he had the fake pirate squawking a little bit.
So his Australian thing is good, but I think this is his best bit. It's the one that makes me laugh the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when he mimics the bird. He's doing two characters at a drive-thru.
And the parrot is not just repeating things. It's having a conversation.
Roy is a genius.
It's also Butterscotch Pudding Day.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know that I'm in on pudding in general. I mean, I think.
What the hell did you just say?
I think it's mid-tier, dog. I think it's
mid-tier. Spoken like a skinny person, dude. What? Clearly, you're not a pudding fan. Let the fat guy talk for a second,
okay.
All right? It's like, look, pudding is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's a party in your mouth and the pudding's invited.
Yeah.
You're putting your tongue on it.
What's interesting is he said mid-tier, though. Like, what do you mean mid-tier?
Dude, I'll throw down on a bundt cake 50 million times over some pudding.
What the hell is a bundt cake?
Oh, bundt cakes go
hard.
Don't
bring a cake into this.
Bundt cakes, dude, this is the whole chain that Wash started, nothing but bundt cakes.
A bundt cake.
And so it's a delicious cake, and it's really perfectly sized. And so what I'm saying is I'm looking at, you know, 50 desserts in front of me. Pudding's just kind of getting lost in there.
You order a bundt cake if you want to move the runner over. But if you want to really hit one out of the park, you enjoy yourself some pudding.
Get yourself a snack pack.
Yes, get you a snack pack. As you're a kid, did you not eat pudding as a child?
No, I did. But I'm not going to eat butterscotch pudding.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Of all the puddings, butterscotch is the worst.
You're basically offering up Juan Gonzalez as your bunter in this situation.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would say tapioca pudding, chocolate pudding, both far superior to butterscotch pudding.
I love
chocolate pudding.
Beckham Looney's Tweety Bird would be like, hey, I saw myself a pudding cat. That's funny.
Have you ever said, God,
I saw a pudding cat.
Why did I go,
National Pirate Day.
No, it's true. Yeah. It's National Pirate Day. It's also Hug Your Boss Day.
Where's Gavin at?
So
Gavin's not here.
You guys like to
National Boss Day, Gavin's walking around the sales pit right now going, hey, it's National Hug Your Boss Day.
He's got a sign on that says it's Hug Your Boss Day. So in this day and age, though, you can't.
No, not you, Galitz.
You can't. You can't.
Doing a lot of intercom humor here, guys.
You can't go around doing a lot of hugging.
Not anymore.
Not in this climate.
It's a lot of side-hugging these days.
It's a lot of side-hugging, like, hey, listen, I just don't want to infringe on your space here.
Right.
Because, Skin, you're a huge fan of the reverse backward hug where no one knows it's coming.
Yeah, I love that. A surprise one. And sometimes I'll spice it up by raising one of my legs.
You can't do that anymore.
No, I know. You could last week, but
no,
there were some emails.
Not last week.
There weren't emails last week.
Okay.
It's actually Pawpaw Day.
Oh!
I got two pawpaws.
Yeah, my kids are going to be very excited. They love Gator and Pawpaw.
So Pawpaw is actually, it's always the third Thursday in September. Pawpaw is apparently a forgotten American fruit.
What? Oh.
Yeah, take a bite out of a creamy mango banana flavored pawpaw to celebrate.
Sounds like a type of Jello or pudding.
So this is not your grandpa?
No, it's not old Papa.
Oh.
It's not, yeah.
Dang it.
Well,
I've never heard of this. And Papa Clyde.
I think that must be a country thing. That just sounds like a mango. And they thought mango sounded too foreign. So they're like, yeah, just call this a Papa.
It was pretty funny on Step Brothers when that guy kept going, Papa! Paw!
The pawpaw tree, or the Asmina triolaba, grows in the southeast along the Appalachian Ridge and into regions like eastern Texas and Arkansas. It's a fruit-bearing tree that is found as far west as Nebraska.
Is that right? I want to at some point in my life get better acquainted with the American South. I know that I would really probably enjoy the scenery and the golf courses in places like Alabama and Mississippi.
Southern Bells.
I've been to Florida, but and I've been to the Carolinas, but I really want to explore that part of the United States because I haven't. I don't know that much about it, and I feel like it's probably got more to offer.
I feel like Southern Bells are, if you're going to power rank by region, they would have a strong showing.
What are they showing?
Okay, coming up next, let's get back into the Dallas Cowboys talk.
Yep.
A little Cowboys chatter. We're talking about all the drafts under Will McClay. We're going to put these drafts under a microscope. Taco Charlton has failed. It was an absolute bust. So what does that mean? Is it time to give Will McClay a harsh talking to, or has he just been so damn good that you just chalk it up to, hey, you can't win them all? We'll talk Cowboys drafts next on 105.3 The Fan.